Produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Free Culture Radio. Free Culture Radio neither promotes the use of any drugs nor condemns people for being involved in drugs. To the extent that drug use presents problems for individuals or society, those problems are made worse and more intractable when people who use drugs are treated as others and ignored, stigmatized, and even brutalized. In the November 2020 general election, voters in Oregon approved ballot measure 109. The Oregon Psilocybin Services Act is state law. As noted on the Oregon Health Authority website, ballot measure 109 directs the Oregon Health Authority, after a two-year development period from January 1, 2021 to December 31, 2022, to license and regulate the manufacturing, transportation, delivery, sale, and purchase of psilocybin products and the provision of psilocybin services. During the two-year development period, OHA will work with the Oregon Psilocybin Advisory Board to establish rules and regulations implementing Measure 109 and the use of psilocybin products and services. Folks, I'm very excited. I have two guests joining me to talk about psilocybin therapy and implementation of the Psilocybin Services Act. So that listeners can associate your names with your voices, may I ask you to introduce yourselves?
Hi, my name is Elon Hagens. I am born and raised in Portland, Oregon, and I am one of the co-founders of Fruiting Bodies Collective.
And I am Rebecca Martinez, also born in Portland, Oregon, and I am the second co-founder of Fruiting Bodies.
Elon, Rebecca, thank you. Thank you so very much. I got to ask, how did you get into psychedelics?
How did we get into psychedelics? I would like to say, how did we get into loving plants would be the first thing that we would start at is like that for Beck and I is how we came together. And you can't just love psychedelics and love all these entheogens and plant medicines without loving nature. And that is where Beck and I made our big connection. And we made our connection through a mutual friend. And do you want to talk about kind of how we like came to be Fruiting Bodies over these years?
Yeah. So we met about 6 years ago through the farmer's market world. Elon still has a business with gourmet edible foraged mushrooms. And I was working in organic farming at the time. And we always shared kind of this love for herbalism, natural healing, connecting with nature. And over the years, as our friendship grew, mushrooms were just a topic of conversation. Elon is a mushroom expert. I have had personal healing experiences with psilocybin since 2016. And back then we used to think, wow, what would that be like someday? Maybe the drug war will begin to end. Maybe these medicines will be available in a new way. And it seemed like a pie in the sky idea. And then in about 2018, I saw Paul Stamets speak. And he was introduced by Tom and Sheree Eckert, who were the chief petitioners for Measure 109. And it blew my mind. I saw them on the stage and I thought, I'm going to work for them. I can't believe this is happening, but of course it's happening in Oregon. So fast forward, I was volunteer and event coordinator on the Measure 109 campaign. Elon was out there gathering signatures and talking with people in the mushroom community about it. And all along, we just kept thinking, wow, this might actually happen. And if it does, if we're going to endorse this, we have to be there to make sure that it's actually a just program, that it's equitable, that it's fair and accessible for the people who really stand to benefit the most. And we know that for us, it's deep knowledge of what marginalized communities go through and how they could stand to benefit. So, you know, once Measure 109 passed in November of 2020, it just kind of fell into our laps. It was an organic evolution and almost something we couldn't say no to because our community was asking us to be involved and to advocate on their behalf.
Yeah, they were totally just like nonstop. Beck and I were getting so much inquiries because people trusted us and they knew that we had the knowledge in this arena, and they knew that we had a love for our community. And I think that is like the biggest thing with us is that we have a love for our community and we know the history of psychedelics and the pretty drugs out there. We know who's at the top. We know that we are not older white males. And so when we're talking about rolling out something that is going to help all kinds of people, because we always say we want everybody to heal, right? One of the things is, there's not everybody available who looks maybe like us, who maybe is just from a marginalized community, especially in Oregon, there are not those people out there to advocate for those kind of services. And so we knew that we needed to minimally, at the very minimum, we needed to uplift voices from our community, uplift voices of people who had voted yes for 109, who had maybe never even, don't even know how to spell psilocybin, don't even know what psilocybin is. We make sure that we bring those people forward because that's how we need to create our programs. That's how we need to give, just with the health system, we need to listen to our community and we need to uplift them. And so Beck and I were like, okay, like, so we have this information, everybody wants these resources, what's our next step? And so that's when we created the Fruiting Bodies Collective podcast. And like, with that, it was just like, everything from then on was just like naturally growing. And we kept getting asked even after that, oh my gosh, now that you guys are out there, like, what's the next step? And we're like, whoa, 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 we just started this, you know, podcast, this community, this collective. And so now we are like definitely into the next step. We are pushed into it and we are like taking it like by the horns and we are like loving it. And then there's parts of it that we're hating. And so like, we're honestly, and you have to be honest and open with the things that you're hating because that's where you find the change. And that's where you can make the change is in the parts that are like really uncomfortable. And so do you want to maybe talk a little bit more about our, either our podcast or our next step?
Tell me about Fruiting Bodies Collective. I mean, that's the podcast, but it's turning into more than that. Yes.
Yes, exactly. So Fruiting Bodies formed in the end of 2020 and became a legal LLC in March of 2021. We started with the mission to be a public education and advocacy group with the goal of diversifying and increasing public engagement around psychedelics. With the understanding that people aren't going to use medicines that they fear or that they don't understand or that they're not aware of. So that's the first hurdle if this program is going to meet its stated goals, is making sure that Oregonians and people from all around the world who are coming to Oregon feel well-resourced, feel educated, aware of their options, and also aware of what they should be able to expect from this program. Because when you have an educated public, you're able to hold institutions and organizations accountable. So that feels of high importance to us. So we started by releasing some documents that are free and for sale on our website around Measure 109. We have one about mushroom microdosing, and then releasing a lot of free information on our Instagram page at Fruiting Bodies Co. just to start increasing the conversation and start changing the dialogue around psychedelics as healing agents. And in that process, we realized that in a couple of years, there's going to be this program rolling out. And so far, the group of leaders was quite homogenous. And we thought, okay, as people coming from other industries, who a lot of our peers have had profound experiences with psilocybin and feel deeply called to this work, but are not therapists and clinicians, what is their inroad going to be into this new measure and this new industry? And we realized that none of the options so far looked like training programs that we would feel comfortable participating in. And as we started asking around about the existing trainings and about the existing resources for people, we realized there was a huge vacuum. And so through a few conversations, we had several of our industry peers and mentors who said, "Have you thought about creating a training program?" And we said, "We can do that." And then we realized we could. We looked into it, found out that we could. And so we've been working and keeping in step with the state about requirements, and we're creating a social justice informed training program for entry level facilitators for the Oregon Psilocybin Services program. So when it rolls out, people will be able to choose from a wide variety of great trainings, and we are just excited to be one of them, especially with focus on marginalized communities and on creating an inviting entry level environment for people who are ready to learn and not coming from a researcher or therapist background.
Yeah, and that and the biggest part of it is which we are with an equity subcommittee. And so with everything that we are approaching within Fruiting Bodies, we are thinking, is it equitable? And people always say, oh my gosh, the cannabis industry is awful. It was this and that. And what we're, and it is, and it's awful. It's ugly. It's gross. It's sticky. All those things. Absolutely. And so what we are trying to do is with every step that we do, we're like, okay, is it equitable or is this trying to just be some new industry thing that is going to get Becca and I rich kind of thing? We're not, we don't even think like that. We don't even think like that when we come into even wanting to create this program. Our program isn't just Becca and I have gone to Bali, have gone to Mexico and, you know, learned all that we could learn from all these shamans and all these gurus. And we're not coming back to America and writing a course and saying, this is how you need to do things this way because I stole it and took it from people. That is like one of our biggest things that we are not doing. And so there are professionals who are marginalized. People have been practicing underground for years and years and years and years. And we will never not give credit to that, because that's why we are here right now, is because of the work the underground has done and our Indigenous people have done. So that being said, we know Indigenous people, and there's so many marginalized people out there who have not received income for the work that they have done. So we are changing that. Beck and I, right off the get-go, within this program, we are not going to take all the profits. We are taking 50% and splitting it between ourselves, but the other 50% is going straight back into this program, straight back into making sure that marginalized people have access to get training, to actually get the training paid for, that they have options to get sliding scale treatments, maybe even free treatments. And not on top of, and on top of that, when we're talking about healing and treating, we're not just talking about just the actual like session. We're talking about your body, your life, how you're living day to day, is your housing okay? Like all these things is what is a big part of our collective, and that we're making sure that we're connecting people within this collective in a way where they can also be equitable, that they are going to want to contribute because they know that we are going to make sure that we're going to give back to them like directly. And I know there's so much we could go on with this forever, because it's like the biggest drive and the biggest difference between us and a lot of other programs that have happened and that are going to happen.
Yeah. So our goal is really to merge these worlds, where there's kind of the psychedelic world, where people who love psychedelics love their psychedelics, and they will invest and they will fight for and advocate for legalization of psychedelics. And that only goes so far when we're talking about justice. And so our goal is to merge the conversations where we have people who are talking about social justice and abolition and transformative justice philosophies and mutual aid, like Elon was saying. What is community care? What are cooperative economics? And merging some of those philosophies and paradigms with this psychedelic resurgence that's happening, and imagining something new that's actually mutually beneficial for all involved at the community level, and not just sucking money upwards toward the top where it will be hoarded. It's just to, our dream is to have a program that is regenerative in every way, that grows itself, that funds itself, and that ends up with really powerful positive impacts in our immediate community. So that's the driving force behind everything we do at Fruiting Bodies.
Yeah.
We're listening to my conversation with Elon Higgins and Rebecca Martinez, co-founders of Fruiting Bodies Collective. We'll have more in a moment. You're listening to Free Culture Radio. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Draft legislation to legalize marijuana at the federal level is being circulated on Capitol Hill. Democratic leaders in the Senate announced the bill at a news conference July 14th. Here's Majority Leader Charles Schumer.
So today is a big day in the Senate. For the first time, I as Majority Leader, Senator Wyden as the Chairman of the Finance Committee, and Senator Booker, one of the foremost champions for justice and equity here in the Senate, we are all joining together to release draft legislation to end the federal prohibition on cannabis. This is monumental, because at long last, we are taking steps in the Senate to right the wrongs of the failed war on drugs.
To learn more, I spoke with marijuana policy expert Shalene Tidal.
Hi, I'm Shalene Tidal. I'm vice chair of the Cannabis Regulators of Color Coalition. I think it's a really good, comprehensive start And we have to keep in mind that this is the first time that the Senate has taken a serious look at legalization at the national level in the decades that the movement has been working on this. So it's an important event, but it is not the final bill by any means. It hasn't even been introduced. It's been put out to the public for all of us to take a look. By all measures, it's going to be an open, inclusive process. So they put this out for people to read it and submit their feedback. And then the final bill that gets introduced is likely to look a lot different.
A year ago, the House of Representatives voted on a measure to change the marijuana laws.
Well, the MORE Act has passed in the House. It hasn't come to the Senate yet. And I think there are a lot of similarities between the two bills, especially when it comes to expungement and social equity grants and a lot of really good proposals for social justice that I think could go even further. But they are two separate bills, so eventually they'll need to be reconciled.
What can people do to find out more about this and to get involved in helping to shape this legislation?
So this is kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I really encourage people to get involved in the policy details of what the national marketplace for legal marijuana is going to look like. I think once, you know, the details of this bill are finalized, that's going to be the status quo. So this summer, you have an opportunity to give your feedback. It's really important. I would recommend submitting something in writing. They are going to set up an email address, and so you can submit your comments, but I would also recommend talking to your senator because this is the first draft that they've put out, but based on what the other senators say, it's going to be changed. And you always have the most power locally where you're a constituent.
Shalene, while I've got you on the phone, there's a project you're working on that's very closely related, that's working on policy, right? What is the Parabola Center?
So I started the Parabola Center when I ended my term as a cannabis regulator, and a lot of my peers were becoming corporate lobbyists, kind of the typical path into private industry. And I really wanted to keep representing people. So the Parabola Center is a crowdfunded project to create cannabis policy for people, not corporations. We marked up the MORE Act. You can find that at parabolacenter.com. And then you can also find our comments on this bill moving forward. And it's just a way to make sure that the mass movement that really made legalization happen is still going to be central when it comes to the final details of drafting.
So again, the website of the Parabola Center is?
ParabolaCenter.com. And you can follow us on Twitter for our comments on this draft at Parabola Center.
Shalene Tidal, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with Shalene Tidal. She's vice chair of the Cannabis Regulators of Color Coalition. She's also a distinguished cannabis policy fellow at the Ohio State University College of Law Drug Enforcement and Policy Center. You're listening to Free Culture Radio. Welcome back. Let's continue that conversation with Elon Higgins and Rebecca Martinez, co-founders of the Fruiting Bodies Collective.
So a part of what we're here to do is remind everybody there's still time. There's still almost a year and a half. Policies are still being made and we need public engagement. And so on our website, we have a form where people can submit an anonymous comment or they can say who they are. And that helps us to know what is on people's minds and helps us to see our blind spots and bring the right issues forward to the subcommittee and then forward up the line to the main board. I just feel like it's so easy to take what has already been done and replicate it. And part of what we've been facing on the health equity subcommittee is that the pace at which this is happening is actually quite fast. We're inventing a program almost from nothing. And so the temptation to copy paste from other industries is there. And if we're doing that, then as a health equity subcommittee, we're constantly in reaction mode, which is like, oh, slow down. That's a no, that's a no. This is inherently unfair and unjust. This inherently drops people out of the bottom and privileges those with more access. And so if we're not going to be in a reactive state for the next year and a half, part of our job at the equity subcommittee is to talk with the community, talk to experts from their respective fields, and dream up new models and new creative ways so that we can be one step ahead and say, hey, instead of trying to take this format for, say, licensing or security or funding, let's imagine something new. And here, oh, we've already thought about it. We've laid it out. Here's a proposal. Let's see how that compares with some of your other experts, and let's put something together that meets these needs from the beginning. So, and it's a completely uncharted territory. We haven't, working with a state board, working to create a program that literally does not exist in our nation or really anywhere in the world, a program like this, it's like stumbling through the dark, you know? And so you have to have the right people who you trust to stumble through the dark with, and you have to know that people aren't going to be running off in all directions, making decisions that will benefit their businesses in the future at the expense of the collective. So that's really our end game. And it's an amazing crew. I'm so glad that the Health Equity Subcommittee is made up of who it is. And we have so much work to do. So I think our biggest ask for anyone listening is to please engage with us, whether you send us two sentences in an email or a long rant about everything you feel about mushrooms, underground, above ground. These things really help us, and they will be heard by those making decisions. And so that's kind of our goal, is to help bridge that gap.
Now, just to make sure people can, where is the, what's the web address?
Our website is fruitingbodiescollective.com.
So this is such a silly, well, no, actually, years ago, I was talking to a friend who, they were very interested in psychedelic therapy, look at the LSD microdosing, all this stuff. And it just had one really basic question. How do I get it? You know, we don't have the connections anymore to be able to get that. And quite honestly, not interested in, you know, the with the influx of novel psychoactive substances that have been making their way in, and just going out onto the streets is obviously not a thing. But so, yeah, how do people get the psilocybin?
Well, I think one thing to emphasize, and something we always try to frame during this conversation, is that while this program will create legal access within licensed service centers, it hasn't changed the laws around psilocybin for general public use. And so that's really important for people to know. And we always say in our advocacy, we have to remind people before we give any other information that they're dealing with illegal or questionably illegal substances, and they need to know the laws in their area in order to be safe, because that is, it is central to harm reduction, is making sure you understand the laws and are keeping yourself safe. With that said, Measure 110 did decriminalize the possession of up to 12 grams of psilocybin mushrooms or mushroom containing products. That passed at the same time as Measure 109 did. A lot of folks have, there's a big movement for people to grow their own, and there's a big sort of citizen movement for people to decentralize and become in personal relationship with their own medicine. We don't provide mushrooms, obviously.
Yeah,
we don't sell them.
We don't promote
legal use.
We do not. Yeah, we are. And that being said, but we do know, and we do obviously give respect to everybody who has done the work and research underground and has taken those risks. Because there's tons of people in jail right now for who have taken those risks. And that is what we are trying to prevent. And that is what we are actually trying to make sure that people actually get healed off of as well. And that is the biggest thing for me right now, and why it was even hard for me to even come out publicly and be like, I support plant medicine, because I know the risk was out there. And until people are out of jail, it doesn't quite feel right to promote anything. And so I'm not going to promote something and then have the same person get arrested an hour later. And that's just the reality of it, especially in the Pacific Northwest. Like, that is the truth. And if you deny that, then you need to do some education.
Yeah. And I'll add, you know, one thing we've come up against is there's people who only want to access these things legally, and yet they're suffering. Mm-hmm. And they've seen the documentaries, they've read the studies, the, you know, every major New York Times, Rolling Stone, everyone's writing about how psilocybin has so much potential for things like addiction, depression, PTSD. And we know that there are people who are suffering every day. And so it's like, if there are people who can't wait, you know, join your local psychedelic society. The Portland Psychedelic Society is the third largest in the world. It's run by amazing people. Being in community, I think, is the best thing we can offer. Absolutely. At this time, you know, and we also understand that a legal framework where people have to go physically access a clinic, they have to build trust with the facilitator, they have to come up with the funds or find a scholarship. These are a lot of barriers, and we'll be the first to acknowledge that a framework like this is inherently inaccessible unless we go above and beyond to create better access. And so as long as Oregon or any other state continues to criminalize the home use and possession of psilocybin or any other psychedelic, we're going to have a problem, and we're going to have illegal use because you've restricted the ways that people can use. And that's something that we in Oregon have to acknowledge, and we have to continue to educate around safe use, however people choose to use. You know, mm-hmm. I personally believe in cognitive liberty. I believe in personal sovereignty. And part of that is people choosing to make informed decisions involving whatever risks are involved. And in order to make informed decisions, people need to have all the information.
And do you have any closing thoughts for the listeners?
No, I don't. I just think that my closing thoughts is that, you know what, I thank all the Oregonians for having passed or at least like given a look. If even if this doesn't go the way we want it to go, I appreciate that it shows that we have some interest. And that is like a big step, especially after COVID, since we've been going through this whole pandemic, and with, you know, Black Lives Matters movement. Like right now, this is some time for some big, big healing to happen and some big changes to happen. And we just need to keep this forward momentum and realize that this is not a trend, and that we need it while we have this gas and engine. Let's go for it. Let's just get it.
Yeah, I feel that.
You feel that.
Yeah. I feel that. I would just add, we just invite people to dream with us and to imagine what transformation might look like, and allow the message of psychedelics to be what informs our attitude about change and healing. And so the more we can approach this program, the more we can approach drug policy reform in general with openness and curiosity and compassion, then there's real hope, and we might actually be able to see the changes that we've been craving for a long time.
Elon Higgins, Rebecca Martinez, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was a conversation with Elon Higgins and Rebecca Martinez, co-founders of the Fruiting Bodies Collective. And that's it. Thank you for joining us. You have been listening to Free Culture Radio. Many thanks to my guests, Elon Higgins and Rebecca Martinez from Fruiting Bodies Collective. A big thank you to everyone out there fighting for civil rights, human rights, and social justice. And of course, thanks especially to you, dear listener, for your support. You make it all worth it. Free Culture Radio is on Facebook. Please give its page a like. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Doug McVeigh. We'll be back in a month to continue our examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the influence of drugs on society. Thanks again for listening. This is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long!